Good morning. We are excited that you're here. This has been a great weekend. Mark Holman has been with us, great friend, mentor of mine, somebody I consider a rock star in youth in family ministry and youth ministry. I just want to say something real quickly. I hope you will be with us during this special combined adult class that we'll have right after worship. I want to encourage you just to stay where you are as soon as the last amen is said, and let the parents take their kids to class, and we'll start right at 10:30 to give him as much time as he possibly can. I got to be real honest with you. This has been a lesson that I've kind of dreaded a little bit. As most of you know, 2013 has not been a very positive year for myself and our family. Before I begin to continue that story, I want to remind you one of the things that we talked about last week. The whole theme of this month has been caring enough to share. And the idea being that we share our faith at home, not just at home, but everywhere that we go. You'll remember last year we talked a lot about Deuteronomy 6 and the importance of sharing that faith when you get up, as you're walking along, as you go to bed. In every aspect of life, we share our faith in our families. Last week, we issued a challenge, and I actually called it a dare. I was having visions of double dog daring people, but I thought that might be a little different, especially right after Christmas. You know, Christmas story is one of those things that comes out around that time. But if I could, I would have double dog dare you to live a faith at home idea, a mindset in your families. And last week we talked about what faith at home was. And one of the things we talked about first was that faith at home is a family mission. It's a family mission. It's what you're all about. You know, when you watch all these special movies and stuff about spies and James Bond type things, they're always on a mission. Mission Impossible. Well, this is not a Mission Impossible. But for every family, you have a mission. And that's what faith at home needs to become, and your family is a mission. Well, secondly, we talked about that faith at home is also a family message. It's a message that you share with those, not just within your own family, but with those that are around your family. And sometimes that's at work, sometimes it's here, sometimes it's just being out in the city. It's a very special message. And then lastly, we talked about that faith at home needs to become a mindset. Not just in the mind of the parents, but also in the mind of the children. Last night, Mark blessed us in our milestone event that we had for the families that had new births or adoptions over the last 2 years. And one of the things that we talked about was the idea of blessing your children every night in a very special way. You see, faith at home is a mindset. It's something that begins at birth with our children and continues throughout their lives. Now that brings us to where we want to be today, because if we issued that challenge and we said that faith at home is going to become a part of your life, we realize that there is an enemy out there that doesn't want that to happen. 2013 was a very difficult year for our family. As you know, our daughter Janae, who is actually here this morning. Where are you, Janae? Raise your hand real quick. I lost you guys at the beginning. Oh, there she is. Okay, over here. How'd you guys get way over there? We were over. It was a very difficult year for us. 2 years ago, actually, Janae was diagnosed with occipital neuralgia, which moved into fibromyalgia, as a lot of you know, which basically means that she is in pain the majority of the time. And sometimes the pain gets even worse than she can handle, and even sometimes worse than the pain medications are that she can handle. And for the last several, the last several years, really, it's been a very difficult road for us. There were times where we would have to go to the ER to stabilize the pain. And sometimes that would be three times a week. Most of the time it would be late at night. And most of the time, or a lot of the times, it was a very difficult place to be. Because if you've ever been to the ER, you know there's a lot of different types of people in there. And not just talking about the people there as patients, but people there as medical people. And there were many situations that happened. I'm going to share one at the beginning and one at the end of this lesson today. I remember one of those times, it was a very difficult night. It was one of those late nights that they ended up basically putting Janae in the hospital. And one of us would usually stay with her there, Susan or I. And I was on my way home, and I was not a happy camper. This is one of those things that you pray about. Sometimes you yell about. Sometimes you get angry about. And it was on that way home that I just felt like I couldn't go home. I didn't want to go home to an empty house. And I remembered over here at ACU, there's a prayer maze that's right there behind the lake area. And I thought, okay, I need to go just have a conversation with God. And if you've ever been there and done that, you know that you kind of walk through this maze that's laid out on the floor, and at different places there's words that are there, and you kind of stop and you contemplate on that word, and then you move on until you get to the middle. And I don't know how long I was there, to be honest with you, but I was not happy with God. And I think sometimes that's okay not to be happy with God. And I think it's okay sometimes to even be mad at God. Because Susan and I had been praying for a long time for God just to heal Janae, to take away her pain. A 20-year-old should not have to deal with what she was dealing with. The doctors all said, we've never seen this in a 20-year-old. Have you ever been there? As a parent, have you ever been there at a place where there was nothing you could do? You see, a challenge was issued. I remember actually saying, and it was just probably my fault, I remember telling somebody a while back that the only time I would ever come close to ever losing my faith was if something ever happened to my wife or my kids. Be careful of making statements like that. Because it is a very difficult road. I'm a fixer. I fix things. I'm able to fix most things. You can Google just about anything but how to heal your daughter when she's in pain. And the doctors don't know what to do. But I do know that I have a God that is a healing God. I do know that God is there and He is patient with us in our anger. He's patient with us at times where we're hurting and we're crying out, saying, God, what is this all about? Maybe you've been there. Maybe it was about a parent. Maybe it was about somebody else in your family. Maybe it was about a job loss. Maybe it was about cancer. Maybe it was fill in the blank with yours. There were some verses that gave me some comfort. And we're still in that stage of trying to figure out why in the world did all this happen. But as I was preparing for this month, I knew that this week was going to come. Because you can't challenge people with their families to say, you need to live a faith at home life if you don't do it yourself. And we were challenged. We were challenged this week. James chapter 1. If you have your Bibles or your phones, flip over there. I remember one of the very first Bible classes I ever taught in middle school, I was in middle school, was from James, the book of James. I love the book of James. And it's always been a part of my life for some reason. And as we were going through these situations, I remember thinking back, James has a lot to say about this. James chapter 1, I have trouble reading this at times where times are tough because I don't want to be happy about it. But there's some lessons I believe that we can learn from James chapter 1 that will help us get through those tough times, that will help us to bear those times where we're living a faith at home life and God doesn't always seem like He's right there. Because if you take on the challenge to live a faith at home life in your family, there will be some times that you will have to bear because Satan doesn't want you to do it. Read with me James chapter 1. He says this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever," and I'm going to change some words here just a little bit, and I think it applies just as much. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever your family faces trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your family produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that your family may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." If there's one thing I believe that this verse says to us, I believe it says that pressure brings our family to maturity. There has been some blessings that have come from our situation. You have to look for them. But I know one of the things that we've seen is it's brought our family closer together. I've shared some times with Janae late nights in the ER that I wouldn't take back for anything because it gave us some one-on-one time to talk about life. And sometimes life just doesn't agree with us. What do we do with that? I want to encourage you. I'm just going to put a plug here. Go read some of Janae's blogs sometimes. Some of you have read those and commented on those. She blogged during this situation. And just some incredible words there. But understand that perseverance will bring us to maturity. And when I say that, I'm saying, God, I'm tired of being mature. I think I'm mature enough, God, right now. Just let me go, I'm done. But perseverance brings something out in us. And especially in our families. And I know we're not the only family that has struggled here in this congregation. There are other families that have had situations very similar to ours. And so I hope that this lesson will say, here are some ways that you can bear up under those times and still live a faith at home family. Pressure brings our family to maturity. If you keep reading, he says this, and I'm going to continue this same thought. "If your family lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when your family asks, you must believe and not doubt, because the family who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That family should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a family is double-minded and unstable in all you do." One of the great advantages of being in a family of God is realizing that prayer brings our family to security. Prayer brings our family to security. It's the one thing that will hold us together when nothing else will. I've said it before, I don't know how people go through extreme situations without God in their life. I don't know how people deal with life without God in their life. And specifically, I don't know how we could live through our situation without having God in our family and without having the family of God. You see, prayer brings our family to security. It gives us that sense of, okay, even though we don't have a base right now, we have God's love and concern and care as our base. If you keep reading, and as you read this next section, it's almost as if it doesn't fit, but I think in a way it does because it shows the way Satan works. It seems like in the middle of our times where we're getting closer to God and we're letting prayer be our security, there's a diversion that takes place. If you keep reading, he says this, "Families in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position." Yeah, thanks. But the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. I think there's times where we're in the midst of that secure base of prayer and we get distracted and we begin to look around and we maybe even say, God, look at all these people around us that are not having the troubles that we're having. I think in a way prosperity brings our family to humility. I think there's times where we are prosperous spiritually that give us that sense of humility. I think there's times where prosperous takes us places that we don't need to go sometimes. And we look around and we see everybody else and they're not struggling. And we wonder where God is. Well, I think James does a great job of bringing it all back around when he ends this section. And he says this, "Blessed is the family who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him." I'm looking forward to this one. You see, I believe bearing your faith at home will tell us that perseverance brings our family to royalty. Did you catch that? Perseverance brings our family to royalty. We receive the crown of life that God has promised if we'll just stick it through. You see, the big question that we have when it comes to these situations is why? Why does a 20-year-old have to go through pain and suffer? Why do her parents have to watch? And struggle with that and not be able to do anything. For some of you, why does divorce happen? Why does our health fail us? Why do weird things happen that seem to divide us and take us away from our families? Why does God want us to be happy in the midst of all that? Well, if you'll notice, he doesn't say that you have to be happy, but he says, if you want to know what pure joy is, persevere. Live through it. I found another verse. Turn to this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And this verse recently came to me. Maybe it was God saying, Jack, here's what you need right now. And all through this, I will tell you that there's been times where God has said, Jack, you just got to let go. You can't fix everything. And my question has always been, why? Why did all this happen? What's the purpose? And then I saw this verse. It says this, "All praise to the God and Father of our Master, Jesus the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, He brings us alongside someone else who's going through hard times so that we can be there for that person, just as God was there for us. We have plenty of hard times that come from following the Messiah, but no more so than the good times of His healing comfort. We get a full measure of that too." That's the way the Message translates that verse. Why do these things happen? It's so that we'll be able to help somebody else that's going through the same thing. I now have a way of looking at people in pain that I never had before. I can say, you know what? I know how you feel in a lot of ways. I know it's not the same, but I know how you're struggling. God seemed to give us indicators over the last 2 years that He was right there with us through this struggle. There was one particular night, Janae and I were at the ER, and as you know, it's a very busy place. And there were times where we would have to sit out in the waiting room like everybody else. And because Janae was in pain, many times she would be crying. And there were times where she would be visibly upset. And there was one particular night that we were there, and I kind of have to go out of my minister hat to my dad hat. And sometimes I'm in the midst of that, trying to figure out, okay, if people are hurting over here, how do I take care of her? And, you know, and you kind of go through that. This man comes in, obviously a homeless individual. He was carrying a backpack with him, and it was really cold that night, so he had on a full jacket. And he walked in, and he set his stuff down on a chair, and Janae and I were sitting over here. And when he set his stuff down, he turned around, and he looked at Janae, and he said, "What's wrong with you?" Just like that. "What's wrong with you?" And I'm going, "All right, God. This is not the time to put my minister hat back on, okay? I need to be here for Janae." And so she kind of looks up, and she couldn't talk because of the pain. And so I just said, "She's struggling with some pain, and we're trying to get her some help." And he walks over to her, and we had several situations like this happen before, and I'm kind of going, "Oh no, okay." So he walks over to her and he says, "Can I pray for you?" And we never turn those down. And we say, "Sure." And he looks there and says, "Well, can I say a Mexican prayer over you?" You know, he was Hispanic, and so we just said, "Well, sure, God." I told him, "I believe God hears all prayers." And so he begins to pray, and he's praying in Spanish, and he starts out kind of low, and we can pick out words like girl and thank you and healing, you know, different things like that. And then he starts to get louder. And he's continuing this prayer, and he's praying for her, and people start kind of noticing that he's praying for her. And so, you know, we're just sitting there, we're just in the midst of this prayer. And he finishes, and we say thank you, and he goes over, and he sits down, and we're still there sitting, and we notice he's still kind of praying. And he looks over at Janae, and Janae is still crying because of the pain. And he says, "What's the matter? Don't you believe in God?" We said, "Well, yeah, we do. We're believers. We're just still struggling." And so he begins to look through his backpack, and he walks over and he pulls out this card. This one right here, I asked Janae if I could borrow it. Something she's going to keep forever. And he says, "I want you to have this." He said, "I've had this a long time, and it's brought some great comfort to me at times where I really struggled." He says, "I want you to have it." And he gave it to her. And it's something that's probably maybe at churches, it's one of those deals you pull out and carry or whatever. But it has a picture of Jesus with the healing power coming out, and on the back there's a prayer that you can say and stuff like that. But this was something that meant a lot to him. And he wanted her to have that. And as soon as he gave it to her, we said thank you, and he went and got his stuff and left. But before he left, he said, "You know, God just puts me where He needs me. And He tells me to help people that need help." And it was almost one of those Lone Ranger moments, you know, kind of like, who was that masked man, you know? But he left. And I looked over at Janae and I said, "Do you think that was an angel?" Aren't we so judgmental sometimes? And we talked about that afterwards, several. You know, we talked about it because this guy walked in, set his stuff down, looked at Janae, talked to her, prayed over, and then left. Didn't use a phone, didn't ask for money, didn't, but just said, "I'm here for you." Maybe that's why these things happen. Maybe that's the thing that we can think about and we can say, okay, I can think about having pure joy because I know no matter what it is that we're going through, this is something that I'm going to be able to help somebody else with. Listen to me as I read this again. It says, "All praise to the God and Father, the Master, Jesus the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who's going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God has been there for us." I remember a sign at a church one time that said, "When God seems far away, guess who moved?" Tough times are going to come. And I'm probably the last one to try to help anybody else right now. But I know later on there's going to come a time where God's going to use this for His glory. I know there's going to come a time where Janae is going to be able to share her story with someone else who's struggling in pain. I know there's going to be a time where there's going to be a mother that Susan is going to be able to talk to about their child who's struggling. And she's going to be able to say, "I know how you feel." So where are you in the midst of this? I know there's many people in this room that have been through some very difficult times. And I know how easy it is to sometimes even hate God. But you know what? God is right there alongside us. He is, I promise. Sometimes I know I have to convince myself of that, but I know He's there. And I know He's wanting to love us, to help us, to give us what we need just to get to the next day. What's your struggle? If you're going to be a faith at home family, there's going to be some times you're going to have to bear. Whether you're an older couple that's retired, whether it's a single mom, whether you're a widow, tough times will come. But you know what? There's a God that cares, and He wants to help you through that. Let us pray for you. Let us do all we can to help you through that. Let us put our arms around you and share. There may be some of you that are here this morning that are not Christians, and you have an opportunity that we can help you do that. We can help you get to know the God that cares, that we want to share. And so let us do that for you. Some of you have been Christians a long time, and maybe you've built up some of that anger and that bitterness, and you said, "You know what? I'm tired of being mad at God. I just need to let go of that." Let us help you with that. Life is going to be full of struggles. But let us help you get through that. Well, I was watching TV this morning. We have a certain preacher we watch every Sunday before we come as we're drinking our coffee. And he did a lesson this morning that I thought was interesting. And the main takeaway was this: when the going gets tough, God gets going. When God wants to get going with you, whatever it is that you're struggling with, let us help you. Let's stand and sing.